Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia, back with you with another episode, with another topic, and this time, two special guests. So the topic of today is all about understanding life beyond death through psychic and mediumship. So let me introduce the guest for today. Mike Myers is a deep energy trance healer and Reiki healer, and Sandy Myers is a clairvoyant medium, Reiki master, life coach, and tutor. So they both not only are great healers and teachers, and they're also helping other people to walk this path and learn more about it as well. So on this episode, we're going to learn a little bit more about what exactly is mediumship or spiritual connection, and what is it all about?
Well, shall I start?
Yes.
Yeah? Start. Okay, well, it's all about energy. Life is all about energy. We are energy. The world is energy. And it is about connecting people through energy in order to understand them and to empathize with them. And in my case, when I do my psychic mediumship, it is about finding out about people, what makes them tick, what their problems are, why they have problems, and looking at different areas of their life to facilitate a smooth pathway for them.
So when we talk about psychics or mediums or clairvoyance, we're always thinking about, okay, people who can see the dead, people who can talk to the dead. Is that true? And can you guys actually speak to the dead?
Yes. I need to correct this, actually. There is no such thing as death beyond that of the physical body.
So interesting. And
why
do you say that?
Our physical body is all that dies. Because our energy field, that energy which is all around us, emanating from us, that is our spirit. And our bodies are the vehicle that carries our spirit through this life journey of ours at this moment.
So you're saying our bodies die, but we don't die.
And that is exactly it.
Correct.
So where do we go, and what happens, and how is it that you can get in touch with that spirit after the physical body dies?
I'm going to take this one as well because it's more my subject. Okay. This is what I do all the time. So we don't get in touch with them. They get in touch with us.
Really?
So when the physical body dies, the chakras release the energy fields. So it's no longer attached to the physical form. It assumes a higher vibration and joins the spirit world, which is all around us all the time.
Okay. So when you say they get in touch with us,
The spirit people.
Can you tell us a little bit about the spirit people and why do they want to get in touch with us? What is the purpose?
One day we will all be spirit people because one day all these bodies of ours will die. So all our energies will be released back into the spirit world. And that is where we came from, and we will go home to there.
Okay. And when we are there, why? Because the way we relate to our family members and friends and so on is with our five senses, right? And our memory as well. So once we die and once we're in spirit form, does that memory still exist without
yes.
the brain?
Yes, it does. Let's put it this way. It always exists because everything in our energy field contains everything about our past, our present, our future potential, our life purpose. So when we go back, it's all there. It goes back the same. It's like a big computer storage, if you like. It's always on there. And part of our spirit, I think it's about 20%, is always in the spirit world. So that gets joined. You know, people say, I've come to see my higher self. Mm. It's a bit like that. So again, all these memories are linked to that 20%. So we're always there. Make sense?
Interesting. Okay, so how does mediumship work? So how do you connect with them, or how do they get in touch with us, and how do you know that they're getting in touch with us?
So again, this is, Mike does it a bit differently. Publicly. To me, in his healing, it's a little bit different. But if I was reading for you, I would first of all be blending my energy field with yours to read you psychically.
Okay.
So to find out about you, who you are, what makes you tick, what affects you. And all of you is contained in your energy field. Mm. Everything about you, everybody you're associated with a lot, it's all there. So when your physical body dies and your energy is released, it is the same person. Mm. We on this planet all think, we look in the mirror, oh, that's me. No, it's not. That's the vehicle that carries you around. That's the model you chose. It's like a car. And it will die at the end of your life. When your energy is in the spirit world, it has the same characteristics, memories, emotions, experiences that you collected on this lifetime. So when I sit like this, I'm talking to you, and say I finished the psychic reading, then I will have had spirit around me all the time, my own people helping me, but I will sense that others have joined them, and they will be your people.
Interesting.
And there will come a point when I will feel like a pushing in my energy. As a spirit energy comes into mine, it's like I can feel it come in. For me, it's cold. For some people, it's hot. For some people, it's tingly. Mike gets fluttering around his face, but we know when they've arrived.
Right. And you keep referring to them as them. So why them? Why not just one person? And how do you know who is getting in touch with you?
Okay. So it will be them because I have a backstage crew, my team in the spirit world, my doorkeeper, various other people who help me.
Whoa, okay, so let's break that down. So backstage crew, backstage doorkeeper, what does this mean?
So it's like a stage, it's like a set, if you like. So basically you have a medium in the middle that sits on the line between the spirit world and the earth.
So there's a connection.
It's an imaginary line.
It's an energy.
It's an energy. So you can feel, you know, we know when a spirit person's coming in.
Okay.
You have the spirit person coming in to the medium in the medium's energy because that spirit person is going to want to give information to the client or sitter. Mm. You have a spirit person's guide. So there'll be a guide of the spirit come through, designed for that, to help the spirit person, because the spirit person might not have been through before, and it might be a little bit challenging, a bit difficult. So that guide is going to guide them away.
So every spirit would have
a spirit guide.
Somebody
to help them, yeah.
Somebody to hold their hand.
And are these spirit guides like family members, or it can be anyone?
It can be. It can be anything. It
could be a friend.
Could be anyone.
It'll be somebody they know to make them comfortable.
Yeah. And why exactly do a spirit person need a spirit guide?
Because imagine if you went to the spirit world, you just arrived there, it's all nice, you've been met by your family, friends, whatever, and then somebody comes to you and says, oh, you know, I could take you to a meeting place where you can communicate with your family back on the Earth planet to let them know you're all right. Maybe you want to say something to them. Maybe there's things you didn't say before you left. Maybe there's things you didn't do. Maybe they're arguing about something. You can come with me and communicate through this medium. So obviously, if they've just arrived, they don't know the way. It's a bit like when we arrived at Illuminations the other day. We didn't know where we were. So somebody had to give us a tour, a show round. So that's what happens there. But the process of actually coming through a medium is not easy for them the first time.
Different
so they
energies.
Have to learn how to do it.
Okay, so you have a spirit guide who helps a spirit person. So just to be clear, a spirit person is someone who has just passed away.
It could have been just, or it could have been a long time ago.
A long time.
Okay. It can be any time, because time is irrelevant there.
Ah, okay.
No such thing as time there. So what might seem like 100 years to you could be 2 minutes or vice versa. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Energy has no time, space or barriers.
So the spirit guide helps the spirit person connect with the medium.
Yes. Yep. And I have a doorkeeper when I work.
Right, and what exactly
is my stage manager?
This is what was before. So the main person of this stage is the doorkeeper. I call him the bouncer.
Okay.
Because he's like someone who lets somebody in when he wants to, and he sorts out all the backstage. So if, for example, you get on stage here, you get an opera singer, okay, on stage. This opera singer, woman, if you like, comes on stage. She expects everything to be done for her. All she's going to do is sing. She expects the lighting man, the sound engineer, you know, the costume, the makeup, the wardrobe. She expects all that to be done. And this is what the doorkeeper does.
Right.
He sets the stage as such. No, he doesn't do the makeup, but he's, you know, unless it's him, unless it's a she. But they set the scene and they set the stage so all this can be done. It's very methodical and very logic.
And it's why is it important to have a doorkeeper? Okay. And what happens if you don't have a doorkeeper?
Anyone who works with mediumship is automatically assigned one.
Okay.
Because we need somebody to stop chaos. Because there are far more spirit people than there are mediums. So there's far more wanting to come through to communicate. So a medium doesn't want, I don't want 20 people shouting in my ear. I'm going nowhere with that. Mm. So if I want to truly identify a spirit person for you, say I've got a spirit person here for you, and I'm going to identify them, I want to clearly say things so that you'll say to me ultimately, I know who that is, because I won't know. Because it's nothing to me, it's just an energy that's come in. But they give me information about themselves to describe themselves. I would give that to you, and I'll keep giving you that until you say, I know who it is.
And this doorkeeper that's assigned to you, how are they assigned, and do you get to change your doorkeeper?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They're assigned automatically. As soon as you start dealing with this kind of thing, you're given one.
It's a bit like a solution.
They will change. If you become like me doing this all the time, then somebody of mine actually stepped forward to be mine. So I now know who it is. In the beginning, I didn't. It didn't matter. I just knew there was somebody there sorting it out for me.
And how does it feel, or how does it look like that when you get information or when you get messages? You mentioned sometimes you feel cold or tingling, but how do you know that these are messages or these
not,
are just
they're things? Not. No. That's just the presence of spirit.
Okay.
That's how we know spirit people are.
So how do you know what are messages? How can you receive messages?
All right. So the first thing is not messages, it's evidence.
Evidence
of the identity. And once the spirit person is identified, and you, for example, say, I know who that is, then I will let the spirit person give their message, not before. And so you're looking for how I receive or how Mike receives information.
Because like you said, it could be anybody.
Through the
clairsenses.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm not interested unless they tell me who they are. I'm not going to work with them unless they actually give me the stuff that lets somebody like you, a client, truly know who it is.
Right. So let's say you're with a client and a spirit person comes in who has nothing, who's giving you information and the client's not receiving it well, or she
could always be somebody for the client. My doorkeeper won't let anybody else through. It's a waste of time. So if you've paid me for an hour, you don't want me to spend 10 minutes trying to identify somebody that doesn't belong to you.
It doesn't belong.
So my doorkeeper will only let people of yours through.
Right. So are you, mediumship, or if you're a medium, is it inborn or is it a gift that you have? Or can anybody be a medium?
It's anybody. Everybody is a medium in the world, and everybody is a healer.
Everybody
All it needs
is
fine tuning. So like anything needs fine tuning. And it's using the senses properly. So there's two sets of senses. How many senses have we got?
Five?
No. Well, you've got six, actually. You've got your gut instincts, your sixth sense. But you've actually got 12.
12?
Well, because you've got six of the physical senses, and then you've got six clair senses.
Huh.
Clair meaning clear. So hence the word clairvoyance, clear seeing. And that's where the bridge comes, because they're a higher vibration than your normal senses, if you like. So your physical senses, they're a lot higher vibration. So that's where the connection can come in, because spirit vibrate higher.
Yeah, there's an incompatibility between my energy and a spirit person's. Because I've got a physical body, my vibration's much lower. They've lost the physical body, they're just pure energy, it's much higher and finer. Put the two together, it doesn't mix well.
Right.
Unless they use my higher vibrational senses, in which case it does.
Right. So what are the higher vibrational senses? So you have the clairvoyance, clear which you seeing. Can see.
Clairaudience,
which you can hear.
Clairsentience.
Clairsentience that you can
feel.
Feel.
Clairolfactience.
Clairolfactience. Okay.
Which is the smell.
Ah, all right.
Clairgustience, which is the taste. And claircognizance, but clairknowing we call it, because we don't like spelling claircognizance. Clairknowing, which is like your gut instinct. You just know what to say.
Right. So these are different ways in which you can pick up information.
Yeah, they choose the spirit person. So let's say I've got somebody of yours. Let's say I've got this. Let's start making something up. Supposing I've got your grandfather here. Mm. So he would have been told by his guide, who would have been told by my doorkeeper, that everybody's got all the senses, but my favourites are clairsentience and clairknowing. So your grandfather would have been told, well, you're going to work with Sandy. She's got all the senses, but she prefers these two. Now, if he's amenable and nice, he'll use the ones I like. If he's a bit stroppy, he won't. Or maybe he's prepared a description of himself that uses pictures all the time. So he's a bit stuck. So he's just going to, he'll just use my clairvoyance. They choose which one they want to use.
So how is this helping people? How can mediumship help heal people?
So are we talking in mediumship the spirit, the mediumistic side, or are we talking the psychic side here?
What's the difference?
Right, the difference is if I'm reading you energetically, that's psychic. Or if I'm reading an animal psychically, energetically, that's psychic. That's a clear definition.
Mm.
When a spirit person comes in, then that's mediumistic. So if I deal with the psychic first, I'm aiming to give people a clearer sense who they are, where they are in life, where they're going, who's affecting them, why they're stuck, why they're not clear, what their life purpose is. And that all comes under the psychic. So they should leave empowered. My wish is not to just tell them stuff they know. It's to actually introduce them to their real self, to their spirit. So I'll always say to a client, is there an area of your life you'd like me to look at? So if it's relationship, I can go into the energy and find the energy of their partner and work out perhaps why they're not getting on, if that's the problem.
Right.
So it's problem solving, it's solution, it's clarity, it's empowerment. It's just illuminating their lives, if you like.
And how does mediumship come in?
Okay, so I had a lady yesterday, actually, who sat in front of me and burst into tears straight away. Because she had lost somebody. She didn't tell me who it was. She's just in bits. And I said, why have you come to me today? What do you need? And she said, I need connection with somebody I've just lost. So I said, all right, well, the first thing I have to tell you is we can't choose. We don't do requests. Spirit people have free will. And sometimes if they're being healed in the spirit world because they had a messy death, a really bad experience, they need a bit of healing of their energy.
Interesting.
So as it turned out with this lady, this gentleman that she wanted did come. And it gave her the greatest comfort. Because she knew it was him from the evidence given. And he told her certain things that she wanted to know about why, how he passed, what he'd done, how it had affected the family. I'm not going to go into details because that's confidential. But that's what she wanted, and that's what she got. So when she left the room, she was completely different.
Wow.
Because she'd had the reunion, she knew it was all right, she had things she could tell the family. He regretted certain things, and he told her that.
It's going to be so empowering for her, isn't it? I mean, it's going to massively change her life.
So the intention is, at the end of the day, it's giving the client what they want for their healing, right?
Yes.
Especially when we're dealing with loss.
That's to make them feel better, which is healing. And that's what we're trying to do. But it might be, it just might be a curiosity on the part of someone. I wonder if they will come. What are they doing? They often wonder what they're doing there. So it could be answering a curiosity about what lies beyond the death of the physical body. And maybe somebody comes who doesn't believe in that.
So how do you deal with skeptics who don't believe this work or who... Who think this is a load of bull?
Well, there's several ways. I mean, realistically, people, via the evidence you give them for a start. Obviously, if it's a spirit person and you're giving them evidence, because you don't know who this spirit person is, obviously, we don't know who they are. They're not our relatives or friends. So via the evidence you give them, and it's strong evidence because we don't like maybe, I think so. We like positive, I know who it is. So it will be something like they said this, they gave you this, this was that, an explanation or whatever, whatever. So there's all that as well.
Why don't I do that example?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that.
I had a lady with me once, and I knew I had her father because I have, they stand on different sides for me. My contract says fathers stand at this side, so this gentleman's here. And I gave her lots of evidence about the gentleman, and she kept saying, I think it's my father. Yeah, I really think it is, but I want her to know. So in my mind, I said to the spirit gentleman, I said, well, give me something that will make her know it's you. So I heard the music and the words of the song Nights in White Satin. And I thought, I can't give her that, that's mad, but I'm taught to give what I get. Uh-huh. So I said, okay, I've heard this. When I asked him for a clear identification, she just burst into tears. He wrote it and produced it. So that
was really great evidence. You've got to give your evidence, and that's what we did.
He was quite, I think he'd done it before, he was quite good at it. Some of them, I had one yesterday who was coming through for the first time, and it was a real struggle. It was a lady, and she really wanted to connect. But it was really in my head. I had to keep saying, come on, you can do this, you can do this. Mm. She was learning. Mm. She had L plates on. So she was fumbling her way through it. And I said to the sitter, the client, I said, look, does this make sense to you? Oh, well, I need more. I said, yes, but what I've said so far, does it make sense? Well, yes, she said, but I need more. I said, that's okay. What we're doing is letting this person know that they're doing well. Mm. So you're picking up, you know what she's talking about, you just want more.
Mm.
It's like children, you say, yeah, that's very good, and then they'll do a bit more.
Oh,
that's
great.
And one of the nicest things as well that we both had is, doesn't happen very often, but sometimes when you're bringing a spirit person through, say like for yourself or whatever, if we know you can take it and we sense that, we would say, would you like your grandfather? And you say, well, can I? So yeah. And we'll ask the grandfather to go over to you and you'll feel him, maybe cuddle you or whatever. It's fantastic.
But that's the energy.
But it's not for everyone, mate. But it's just proof, you know?
So we're going back to skeptics now because you asked about that. This is the kind of thing that you have to present them with. So in other words, you can talk to them forever, but you won't convince them really if that's how they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to do the business. You have to read them. But I had a lady yesterday who was more or less saying, well, just show me. I want to experience what you do. And so you have to give them the experience of the psychic reading. You have to tell them something about themselves. They know it, but they're well, how did you know that? Well, I read your energy. And so you do a bit of that and then they get it. So then you bring the spirit person through. And the evidence comes and they say, yeah, I know who that is. Well, how are they going to be skeptic then?
No, exactly. And you can prove the evidence. You can prove the energy, because one thing we do say to people psychically or whatever, this is a psychic side, so they ask and we say to them, well, do you know that first time you meet somebody, say a party or whatever, and you meet them and you instantly know whether you like them, don't like them, something funny about you. Mm. I'm not sure what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
So you get all these feelings. That's your energy psychically. Your two energies, energy fields are blending together and you're picking up stuff from that person.
Mm.
That's your subconscious psychic reading. So you're doing it all the time.
Oh, my. And everyone does this.
Everybody, because as human beings, we are equipped to do it.
And everyone can.
Yeah. Everyone can.
Because it's part of it. It's like if we're physically 100% fit, we walk, we see, we hear, we do all these things, but we also do these psychic things.
Wow.
And the reason people in the world don't do it so much now is because the world is too fast and too noisy and too artificial.
So you're not using your senses. You're not using your senses properly, are you? Who looks at something really? Who really looks at something? Oh, I saw that. Yeah, it's nice. You don't really look at it. Who
listens?
You don't
really get in touch because you're always distracted.
Who listens? Some people say, I hear what you say.
Hmm.
And you know they're not listening to you. It's just,
the reality of the world is nature. That's the reality of the world. Man-made things are not real. They are created. by people here. They've been invented. But the trees that grow, the flowers that grow, man can't do that. That is the power of nature. And that's what man used to live with, very close to. Now, the Aborigines who live naturally in Australia, they still do that. They still live close to nature. They still communicate telepathically all the time. Just, we wouldn't be talking, we'd just be going like that. And they're aware of their ancestors around them at all time. But that's because they walk barefoot, they eat natural foods, and they're not bothered about what tomorrow is going to bring. They're just in the moment. Wow. So therefore, their energy is pure, it's still. And so spirit can get through to them easier. They can pick up the signals from other people easier. It's like if your mobile phone's not a good signal, you're not going to get it, are you?
So you move around the corner.
And so I got some questions from some of the viewers. They wanted me to ask you, so what really happens after we die? And how long do we stay in the spirit world?
I'll do the reception committee.
Well, we do the reception. How long do we stay in the spirit world? That really does depend, because what tends to happen is you, when you get to the spirit world, you sort of, after you've sort of relaxed a little bit, if you had a tragic death or whatever, you get sort of almost a DVD of your life.
Okay.
So you have to look at how you spent your life, if you like.
And that happens in the spirit world.
Yeah, that happens
where
in
you
spirit
review
world.
Your
on life. You review it.
On life. So why do we do this?
Or because we need to know whether you've learned, because this is a learning planet, if you like. Okay. So we're sent here to learn lessons. Each time, if we come back, we're sent to learn a different lesson. So maybe last time you may have come this time to learn patience, if you like, for example. Right, but you didn't do a very good job of it. Okay. So you mucked up this time as well. Or maybe you've done a better job of it. So, that's really good. So your vibrations will be higher.
But it's a self-assessment.
Yeah.
There's nobody sitting judging you.
No.
You watch.
Ooh, that's controversial.
Well, your vibrational level sets your place in the spirit world. You can only be in the level where you fit. So if your vibration is this level, you can't go higher and you can't go lower. You're there. Because that's where your vibrational level brought you to.
So if you came in at, say, a middle level, say this level, whatever it is, and you get back to the spirit world and you're at a lower level, you'll look up and think, I did better last time, don't like it down here, I'll have to do better next time, maybe. Or if you're up higher, you'll look down and say, yeah, I did a good life this time, great. If you stay the same, you know, you haven't done anything really, have you?
But you are helped with that review. You are accompanied, comforted by people, supported by people there who have been through it. There'll be people of yours, but perhaps some of the wiser people there, the wiser ones, and you'll be guided. So there's nobody saying, oh, that's so awful, you're condemned. It's not like that. You've already set it to your level of the energy. Your energy is a result of a lifetime. So it's already set, but you're just looking at what brought you to that point. And then as you're doing that, you might think, actually, I wouldn't mind having another go at that.
Go back.
And then you can stay in the spirit world for a while. It's up to you. You choose when you come back. And some people choose never to come back for reincarnation. They might just stay in the spirit world. If they are what we call higher spirits, more evolved, they can go anywhere they want in the universe. But then when moving here into realms which rather take you away from what you're talking about, because we'll be into ETs, and which is another, that's another podcast.
Wow, this is mind-blowing, because like I have loads of questions in my head that would definitely take us off topic. But to come back to what we're talking about, what would be some tips that you would have to the average listener when it comes to mediumship or psychic readings? How do you think this can help people? If you could give me a list of things that can help people with, what would that be?
Right, so I think I covered that a little bit before with the psychic reading. So a lot of people have lost track of who they really are.
Yeah.
So they present different faces, but it's not the true self. So my psychic abilities will take me beyond those faces to the real person, to their spirit.
So
I would then present them with certain facts about that real person, the one they're hiding.
So if someone wanted to get into mediumship and psychic or being a psychic, how can they practice? What would your tips be for that?
Well, they could come and join our courses.
Exactly. Wow.
There you go.
We have a Mediumship Development Foundation course on Saturday and Sunday.
And what do you cover in this course?
Everything about mediumship. So although everybody has the ability, and there'll be some people who've dabbled in it, done a little bit of it, we start from the bottom point and we lay the foundations of the knowledge and we build it step by step by step. So normally we've done these courses for illuminations before online, and they're 6 weeks.
Okay.
But we were asked to do one over a weekend, so that's fine. I think it's about 8 hours, yeah, 7 hours each day.
Okay.
But in that time, the first day, they will be taught all the principles of the energy and how it works.
Oh, wow.
And they will play around a little bit with the psychic. Depends. It's very difficult to categorize because they'll all be different.
Some will
absolutely race ahead at one point. Others will be slow, and then those slow ones will race ahead at another point. But we hope to get them to the finishing line together.
Wow.
So by the end of the weekend, they will be able to psychically read, and they would have had a sample of bringing a spirit person through. They will have.
They'll know everything there is, won't they, of mediumship as such. I mean, the foundation, just the foundations. Yeah. Like anything, you build a house, you have to have the foundations first before you can go up.
High rises here. We're watching one opposite where our apartment is. We're watching one being built. It's fascinating. But if those foundations weren't strong, that super tall building would be rocking around. And that's the same with mediumship.
And then your particles, yeah.
And a lot of people are out there who haven't got the foundations, so they don't have the base knowledge to give them the confidence to do it properly.
Some people say, I know they do things, and a lot of people, you know, they say, I do this, I do that, and I do psychically read and everything else, but they don't know why, they don't know how, you know, and it's the knowledge of knowing how you're doing. So it's all right doing something, but you need the full knowledge of how you're doing it, especially if you want to teach somebody up.
100%. So to conclude, if you could share some insight of how can we cultivate a vessel that is conducive for mediumship, so our vessel being our body and our mind, how can we prepare it or keep it in a way that would best suit mediumship?
You have to take the spirit into consideration as well, the energy field, because that really needs to be healthy, because it's the energy field that actually controls how the body is.
And how do we keep our energy field healthy?
Okay, so you need to keep away from too much noise.
Okay.
You need to be aware of how people make you feel. So if you're with people who are draining you or making you feel bad, think carefully about whether you want to be with them or not. Or if you are, do you want their energy to absorb into yours? This is all about awareness. It's awareness of what's happening to you. So I would think, top tip, be aware moment by moment of what's going on in your life. Go slower.
Go slower.
Be more quiet. Be more peaceful for time. Not all the time. You can go and have fun. You can do what you like. But there needs to be times when you are aware of who you are and what's affecting you. And from that, you can build on the super awareness of other people and the spirit world.
I love that.
Thank you again, Sandy and Mike, for joining me and sharing so much insight about psychic and mediumship. And thank you to all the viewers for listening and to learn to and for joining us each week to listen, to learn, and to live light. And we hope to see you for the next episode with another speaker, with another topic. So until then, stay safe.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.